Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's going on, everybody? And good morning. Today is Friday, May 9th. Happy payday. And this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope you all had a glorious Thursday. But today is Friday. The weekend begins. So let's get some Eagles news for you before you begin your weekend. By the way, Go Birds Radio tomorrow. Bet Parks, Ben Salem, come hang out. It was always fun to meet some real ones, some auto downloaders, and some Daily Pod listeners. Daily Pod listeners, they all have a special place in my heart, but the Daily Pod listeners, I love especially. So, let's get into some of the news. And to be honest, not a ton of Eagles news from Thursday. Obviously, Dallas Goedert, the big news of the week, the fact he's going to be back, the fact that he ended up not taking really a huge pay cut at all, which is probably, for me, the most surprising aspect of this. I was talking to Spike and Ike about it, and you know, they were essentially saying that they thought all along Goedert was going to be back for a number of reasons. And look, good call by them. But what I would say is what really convinces me that the Eagles actually did want Goedert back, and this isn't they're just taking him back because of a lack of a market, is the fact they gave him $10 million with the potential for that to be 11. I mean, that's a decent chunk of change for a team that is trying to save cash for next offseason when they are going to have to pay a lot of players. So that's pretty convincing. And the other thing I wanted to add about the Goedert thing before we get into some of the interesting sound clips I have for you guys, I think Nick Sirianni deserves some credit in this as well. Like, I think Nick was a big advocate for keeping Goedert on the roster. I know Nick is a big Goedert guy. He really likes what he brings to the offense. He likes him as a locker room guy. He likes him just as an Eagle. He likes having Goedert in the building. And look, I think Howie ultimately made this decision, but you do wonder if there is a different head coach that maybe doesn't advocate for Goedert as much as Nick has throughout the years, if Goedert is still here. So I think ultimately this is about the market. It's about, you know, how much they had to spend and all that. But I do think the fact they gave him upwards of $11 million and kept him, I think Sirianni did have a lot to do with that. So that can be the news that can make you guys happy for the week, that Dallas Goedert will be back next season. So what might not be back next season, the tush push. And Saquon Barkley was recently interviewed by ESPN they did a whole piece on like his Met Gala, the theme, all that, what he wore. He wore like a black tux, you know, obviously looked nice, had a really expensive watch on, not like a flashy standout piece that a lot of people at the Met Gala wear. But as part of him being at the Met Gala and ESPN writing this story, he was asked about the tush push. So here's what Saquon had to say about the idea of the tush push being potentially banned and kind of all the hoopla surrounding it this offseason.
If you don't like it, good, better stopping it. It's not like a play that, you know, we only could do. Everybody does it. Everyone tries it. We're just super successful at it. They were super successful before I was there. I know what it does to a team, how it breaks down a team. And now being on the team, you line up and everyone knows what you're doing. It's like, stop me, and they can. So they're going to feel about it. I'm going to try to make changes, but you know, I don't see that happening. And if it doesn't, just get better at stopping.
So I think the interesting part of the, like, get better at stopping it thing is I just don't think a team really can stop the Eagles from doing it. We've seen other teams be stopped. So like there is a defensive strategy, or at least a way that teams have found to slow it down with other teams. I just think the Eagles, it's just hard to stop them. Like really, if they run it 10 times, I think defensively you will stop them maybe once. And then I think the other times they might not get it would be self-inflicted. False start, a slip, fumbles the ball, something like that. But I think straight up running the play, I don't know if there is like a getting better at stopping it. I think with the Eagles offensive line, Jalen, and then having Saquon back there, like I just don't think they're is going to be a defensive scheme somebody comes up with to stop the Eagles from running the tush push. Now, who could stop the Eagles from running it is the NFL. And we talked a lot about this during the NFL annual meetings in Florida, about the tush push, about how they feel it's a safety thing, but really deep down, they just don't like the way the play looks. They don't view it as a football play. And I think it's becoming more and more obvious that Roger Goodell doesn't want to play in, and he is doing the work of probably some high impact owners that want it gone, and they're going to get the vote. So the next time, the next up on this tush push kind of saga is the NFL spring meetings, which are in Minnesota from May 20th to May 21st. That's when they'll have another vote on the tush push. And I would expect at that point there is to be some pretty major changes to it. Now, doesn't mean it will be completely gone. They'll still be able to run quarterback sneaks. And like I've long said, I think they convert a lot of these because of Jalen and the offensive line, not so much because of the push itself. But I think there's a world where next year they're not allowed to run the tush push in the current form. Doesn't mean they won't convert a lot of these fourth downs. I just think it means they're not going to be able to do it how they've done it traditionally. Now, we'll see what the vote ends up being. That's in what? 10, 11 days now. Yeah, today's the 9th. So 11 days from now, and we'll see. But, you know, I do think it's interesting timing that Jeffrey Lurie was on WIP for the first time in 30 years, by the way, which is pretty crazy, was on WIP recently for Brandon Graham Day and did go out of his way to mention that they are going to resurrect the fullback position and says he thinks there's a place for it in the NFL. And then they go out, they draft Ty Robinson, who played fullback for 8 snaps in his career at Nebraska. Nebraska scored touchdowns on 7 of them. Like, I think they have some ideas on how to continue to convert at a high level these high leverage plays, these like third and one, fourth and ones, first and goal from the one. I think you could see Ty Robinson. I think you're going to see a fullback. I think you're going to see more Saquon. And then you will still see the traditional quarterback sneak. But I feel like everyone on the team, whenever they talk, gets asked about the tush push. Saquon, one of the more key players, I guess, although he never touches the ball on the tush push. So, yeah, I don't think teams are going to get better at stopping the Eagles. I think the NFL will end up stopping the Eagles. Next up, Daniel Jeremiah was asked recently on the Rich Eisen show who he thinks the steal of the draft is in the 2025 NFL draft. And you'll never guess it, but it's a pick Howie Roseman made. So here is Daniel Jeremiah explaining why he thinks Jihad Campbell is the steal of the draft.
There's 257 picks. The one that you say was the steal. Steal of the draft, Daniel Jeremiah. I need to know. You say this is the steal. It could be a first rounder. I'll tap dance a little longer for you to think about it. Second night, I'll give it to you. Day three, what is it?
Yeah, I'm looking at it, just we said it at the time. I had Jihad Campbell fall into the Philadelphia Eagles in the 32nd pick. He was my 12th player. And it just continues to happen. Every year they get a value in some way that just kind of lands in their lap. And I think not only is he a good player, going to a great defense, who is the one team that they're going to be battling for the next decade inside that division? It's Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders. And he's like a Jaden Daniels type defender. Now, it didn't go great when he saw Jaden Daniels when he was at Alabama and LSU torched him, that year before. But I mean, that's going to be, I'm just fascinated to watch what these, you know, these divisions are shaping up and what that battle is going to be, and watching one team try and build up players. The Washington goes out and gets offensive linemen because they know they got to block Philly. Mm-hmm. Philly goes out and gets these athletic second level defenders because they know they're going to have to chase Jaden Daniels around all the time. So that might be the rivalry more than any other in the NFL that I can't wait to watch over the next decade.
So me and James talked about this earlier in the week on the pod. And like, I do think we all need to calm down like just a little bit with this whole, I can't believe Campbell fell to the Eagles. What a steal. Howie must have pictures of people around the league. Like, how did they let him do it again? And look, there could be a world where that's the case. Jahad Campbell is definitely a talented prospect. He's a great athlete. He if he turns into an edge rusher, he's a high impactful player. He can also be a high impactful player as a stand-up linebacker if he's, you know, causing havoc all over the middle of the field. Like, Jahad Campbell is definitely good value at 32. But like, you know, Andre Dillard fell to Howie, and everyone's like, how did it happen? That didn't work out. N'Kobe Dean fell to the Eagles in the third round. N'Kobe had an awesome season this year. Is injured going into next season. It didn't really play for a combination of things his first 2 years. So, like, players fall. Quinyon, I don't really think fell. I guess you could say a little bit, but he was not expected, like, to go top 10 or top 15. I think Quinyon was much more in that, like, 18 to 25-ish range. Maybe I'm misremembering, but that's how I view it. So, like, we talked about Quinyon as a 22nd overall pick. Jahad Campbell fell in the draft because of injuries, but also I think because, like, he might be a bit of a tweener. He might be a bit of a doesn't really play edge and maybe isn't, like, a great linebacker yet, right? So he has to develop like most rookies. I think the thing he's best at coming into the league is being athletic and being like a blitzer that can cause havoc. I do think he's going to need more reps and time at inside linebacker to learn it at the NFL level. I think he needs a lot of work as an edge rusher. So I think what they got is an ultra athletic guy that they can get creative with. Now, the issue with that is if his main skill is going to be athleticism currently, you got to be healthy. And for Albert Breer to say two shoulders, two knees, and that's just one report, but he fell for a combination of reasons. Doesn't mean that it's not a great pick. Doesn't mean that it was a bad pick, but I think it means it was a risky pick. And this idea that Howie automatically got the steal of the draft, it just feels to me like let's see. Let's see, you know. I think Howie has obviously done an outstanding job, all those things. But I think we're going a little far in being like, I can't believe the league let the Eagles get Jahad Campbell. Like, let's see if Jahad Campbell, when he plays, let's see how healthy he is. Let's see, like, let's let all these things happen first. So that's where I've been thinking about that a lot this week because I just feel like there is a lot out there. Like, let's let Jahad Campbell have time and see what he can turn into. He is not a steal yet. He's not a steal yet. So we'll see what he can develop into. Okay, on the other side, Brandon Graham, who is making like one of that dude is everywhere. Like, talk about a media tour. He was on the NFL Network, guest hosting on the morning show. Shout out to him. That's exciting. And he was talking about receivers, but he made a comment I thought was super interesting. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors. So Brandon Graham was on the NFL Network on the morning show, and they were doing a bit where they were ranking the top five receiving duos in the NFL. And to no surprise, Brandon Graham had A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith at number one. So he talks about why in this clip, but he also drops like a little comment in there that I thought was pretty interesting. So here's Brandon Graham on that.
Who do you got at number one?
You know who I got number one. I got, because I believe them boys going back again.
They're going back again.
And I'm excited because, you know, with Jalen and those guys, AJ and Devontae, you see those catches that the boys making out there.
Yep.
And it's trending, in this way. I feel like it's going to be more of a balanced, offense this year, and, they're going to get it all together. And, you know, the Eagles, hey, my Eagles going back to the Super Bowl.
I like it.
My first take on that.
So a couple things. One, and my first piece of advice to Brandon Graham, and far be it from him to need advice from me, but maybe like put the Eagles too, you know, like you're trying to get into the analysis game. Maybe don't put the Eagles one. Now I do think the Eagles might be number one. I legit, like, that is the good thing if you're Brandon and you're going out into this world, is that saying the Eagles could win the Super Bowl is not like a super homer take. Saying the Eagles have the best receiving core in the NFL is not a homer take. Saying Jalen could be, is a top five quarterback, is a top two quarterback, I don't think is a homer take. But I think, Brandon, like, spice it up a little bit. I think you got it in you to spice it up a little bit. And I think everyone expected you to put the Eagles there. But regardless, I thought what was really interesting about this was that comment in there that I feel like it's going to be more of a balanced offense this year. Now, maybe he just is thinking that from what he read. Maybe it's just like his opinion. Sounded informed to me. It sounded like he has an idea of what this year is going to be like. And remember, Brandon is very close with Jalen. So what would a more balanced offense look like this year from the Eagles? Now, obviously, the short answer there is throw it more, like, obviously. But I wanted to take a deep dive into, like, how balanced were the Eagles on offense last year? How big of a deal was it? Like, the passing attempts, all that. So I'm going to give you some stats that I thought were interesting regarding the Eagles' passing attack versus the Eagles' rushing attack last year. So first, this is about as unbalanced as it could get. The Eagles were first in rushing attempts per game, and they were 32nd in passing attempts per game. Now, obviously, the rushing attempts include some Jalen runs, so that skews the number like a little bit. So the called passing plays are probably a little different. But regardless, first and 32nd, obviously a big gap there. Now, I do think legitimately part of the reason that's such a skewed number or such a large gap in those numbers is because they were winning a lot of games. And if you look at the teams with the most rushing attempts, they are teams that win a lot of games because they're icing away games. If you look at teams that throw the ball the most, there are more non-playoff teams in there because they are trying to come back in games. So that's part of it. So I do think you could counter that with saying, well, that's because they were winning. But these stats would show that that maybe wasn't really the case. So again, if you look at overall, like they were, I'm sorry, if you look at this stat, the Eagles were first in the NFL in rushing attempts in the fourth quarter. That backs up the idea that they were icing away games. They were 32nd in passing attempts in the fourth quarter. Also backs up the logic that they were holding onto the ball, killing clock. So again, like first and 32nd. But what does show you that they're a clear run-first team last season, so forget like the score of the game and all that. If you look at the passing attempts in the first quarter, the Eagles were 28th in passing attempts in the first quarter, and they were 8th in rushing attempts in the first quarter. Now, again, Jalen runs, maybe it's skewed, but regardless, the first and 32nd overall, like that's drastic. But you can reason with it on why. The first and 32nd in the fourth quarter, that's very simple as to why that's the case. 8th and 28th in the first quarter shows this team came out running the ball. They came out last year wanting to run the ball as opposed to pass the ball. And another stat, and I found this like super surprising, honestly. The Eagles last year, 32nd in passing attempts on first down, first in rushing attempts on first down. Now, that's not dependent on the time of the game, so that could also be skewed by like the fourth quarter thing and being up. But regardless, there was no team in the NFL that threw it less on first down than the Eagles. If you're not throwing it in the first quarter, and if you're not throwing it on first down, you are obviously coming in trying to run the ball, and you are not a balanced team. And it's not like the Eagles were 20th or 18th in these categories. They're 32nd in passing attempts on first down and 28th in passing attempts in the first quarter. So they were a clear, like, come out, throw the ball. Now, and I believe this to my core, but, like, some people will say, well, they passed well when they needed it to. And I agree with that. I think they passed well when they needed it to. I think the Eagles would tell you, would say last year when they needed to, they passed well. Obviously, in the championship game, the Super Bowl, they did. Good friend of the pod, my good buddy Spike, will tell you, well, you always need to throw the ball well. And I think that is a fair point. I think that you always want to be able to throw the ball well. Last year, the Eagles were 7th in yards per attempt passing. And for what it's worth, the top 10 teams in yards per attempt passing, 9 of them made the playoffs. So this was a somewhat indicative stat, more so than like attempts. The yards per attempt passing, if you were good at that, you made the playoffs. I mean, 9 out of 10, that's like almost all the playoff teams. So yeah, 7th in yards per attempt last year. They were 12th in yards per attempt in 2023, and they were 2nd in yards per attempt in 2022. Now, what if you look at also the attempts, last year, 361 attempts, 2023, 538 attempts. Again, in a year where they're losing a lot, they're throwing it a lot more. And then in 2022, 460 attempts. So to me, the main difference here is the 2024 and 2022. 2023, those 538 attempts, that's not a winning formula. That's not what they want to do. They lost games. That's too many attempts. But 100 more attempts in the same games, in the same amount of games from 2022 to 2024 really shows the difference in their passing offense and what they wanted to do. In 2022, Jalen averaged 30 attempts per game. In 2024, he averaged 24 attempts. So 6 attempts is not a massive amount, but like, you know, that, you know, it's 100 more attempts in a season. And in 2022, they were really good and won a lot of games. So you can't use the like, well, you know, in 2024, they were really good. Obviously, in 2022, they were more comfortable throwing the ball than they were in 2024. So what do all these numbers paint the picture of? It paints a picture of a team that wanted to run the ball last year, came into games wanting to run the ball, ran the ball late because they were up big, and then when they threw it, were pretty good at it for sure. And I think that's for a number of reasons. One of those reasons, though, is when you're throwing it less and you can be more selective on when you throw it, you are going to be better. Like the teams that can't run the ball, they're going to average fewer yards per attempt because they're put in less advantageous situations. The Eagles were in very advantageous situations last year on throwing the ball. So what does a more balanced offense look like? To me, it is not like 35 attempts a game. To me, it is not making sure you're 50-50. To me, and I know that sounds silly to say, because obviously balanced means 50-50, but to me, it just means throwing the ball more on first down, like coming out and throwing the ball more on first down. I think that is what you want to do if you are an offense that wants to sustain drives better. Like if you're throwing the ball at a high level on first down, you are putting yourself consistently into second and shorts. Like you're not, if you're attempting a pass and completing it, you're more than likely getting 5+ yards. I guess you could do swing passes, screen passes, but like regardless, you are getting more yards. So I think a more balanced offense looks like throwing it more on first down, and it's throwing it more in the first quarter. I don't really think it's about the total number of attempts, because if they throw it 18 times in the first half, but then they're up big and they throw it 6 or 7 times in the second half, then you're only still getting to 24, 25 attempts, and that's what they were at last year. So it's not about the total amount of attempts. It's about where the attempts are and what and their kind of commitment to doing it early in games. Now, I love this stat, so I looked it up, but like I think some people will say, well, if Jalen has to throw it more, who knows if they can win? And I know total attempts is not the perfect way to look at it. But if you look at Jalen's career, he is 13-6 when throwing it 35+ times. Most quarterbacks don't have a great record when throwing it 35+ times. In fact, if you go to most quarterbacks' Pro Football Reference page and you sort it by the most attempts to the least attempts for their career, a lot of the games with the most attempts are going to have losses because obviously you're throwing it because you're behind. But Jalen wins 68% of the games when he throws it 35 times or more. That's really good. Like, Jalen wins in almost every situation, but that's a situation where a lot of quarterbacks don't win almost 70% of their games, and Jalen is. I picked Josh Allen just because it feels like that's a quarterback we always compare him to. But Josh Allen, 26-20, so way more times for what it's worth, 56% of his games. Now, when he throws it 35+ times. Now, I do think it would be fair to say, well, doing 56% over 46 times as opposed to 68 over 19, you could argue like that is equally impressive, or obviously doing it over a longer stretch. But regardless, Jalen has shown he can win when he throws the ball a ton. I don't think Jalen needs to prove he can throw the ball a ton. I don't think next year having a balanced offense means throwing it a ton. I think it really just means throwing it on first down more and throwing it in the first quarter more and coming out throwing the ball as opposed to coming out running the ball less, right? Especially with Saquon and all his touches. Like, they're going to want Jalen, and I think they're going to need Jalen in the passing offense to be more successful and to throw it more early in games and earlier on downs than they did last year. So it's not about total attempts. It's not about being ranked like 16th and 16th. It's about throwing it more on early downs and in the first quarter. And that's what I think will create a more balanced offense. So that'll do it for today's Daily Pod. Thank you guys so much for listening. Go out, enjoy your Friday. Seems like it's going to rain if you're in Philly. But hey, sometimes it's nice to enjoy a nice rainy day and talk about growth from me, somebody that used to be afraid of rain. So that'll do it for today's Daily Pod. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.